The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, February 20th, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Heartland Ups Tuition Fee. Cost to go up 1% to $187 per credit hour this summer. By Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College students will see a 1% increase in their tuition and fees starting in summer 2025. The $2 per credit hour increase approved by Heartland trustees Tuesday will bring the cost to $187 per credit hour for residents of the Heartland District. Students living outside the district, which runs along the Interstate 55 corridor from Pontiac to Lincoln, will pay twice to 2.5 times as much. Tuition will increase by $1 per hour, going from $168 to $169 per hour. The other $1 increase is for the student life fee, which goes from $15 to $16 per hour. A $2 per credit hour fee for program and facility enhancement remains unchanged. Jackson Henricks, Executive Vice President of the Student Government Association, said he and other SGA members met with the college's executive team multiple times between November and February to deliberate on the proposed increases. Despite a tie vote in the SGA Senate meeting on February 6th, the SGA formally endorsed the increases. Additionally, minimal raises of the tuition continues the Heartland routine of small raises and avoiding large chunks of tuition that could more negatively and further impact our student population, Henricks said. We recognize the complexities in this decision-making process and affirm that our recommendation is made with understanding of the best interests of the student body. Heartland President Keith Corneal commended the students who took part in and led the conversation and said it is testament to how the college has been able to connect with its students in the past. They took it very seriously, just as our students have done in the past. But this group in particular really worked, and they did fabulous jobs of getting through all the details, Corneal said. We are just so fortunate to have this group of students with us at the institution. It's fortunate that we have strong leaders. The college established the out-of-district rate at twice the in-district rate and the out-of-state and out-of-country rates at 2.5 times the in-district rate. The college is always looking to set a balanced budget each fiscal year to avoid deficits draining fund balances, said Noah Lamb, Vice President for Finance and Administration. Setting tuition and fee rates at a reasonable level to offset rising costs while maintaining student affordability is an important step in the budgeting process, he added. Lamb said factors supporting tuition and fee increases included anticipated salary increases, higher operational costs, and inflation, and the need to offset an approximately $800,000 deficit in the budget next year. In other business, the board approved a $1.55 million project to extend Constitution Trail along Robb Road into the center of the campus. This will include a new paved bike path around the north side of Berkey Pond and a variety of amenities, including a pavilion shelter, fishing piers, bird-watching blinds, and a pedestrian bridge. A tiered outdoor classroom also will be accessed from the campus's Vermilion Way. Country Financial announced plans for the enhanced and renamed path, which will be called the Country Financial Trail at Heartland, during an event in November 2024. The total project estimate is $1,515,250, with $600,000 being funded through the Heartland Foundation and donations. Country Financial has not disclosed the amount of its contribution, but the company said its donation exceeds the 25% threshold needed to secure naming rights under the college's policies. According to board documents, the contractor and any subcontractors are required to pay prevailing wages in accordance with the specifications and the Illinois Department of Labor. The next local story is entitled "Albrecht to Lead Health Department" by Steve Stein. Eureka! The Woodford County Health Department will be under new leadership starting next week. The Woodford County Board on Tuesday approved the receipt of a letter from the Woodford County Board of Health announcing its February 7th appointment of Bethany Albrecht as the new Health Department Administrator. Her first day on the job will be Monday. Albrecht replaces Hillary Agard, who resigned in December after serving as Health Department Administrator since 2015. Agard accepted a new job as Peoria Regional Health Officer for the Illinois Department of Public Health. Albrecht brings a broad spectrum of public health experience to her new position, according to a news release issued Wednesday by the County Health Department. Her background includes emergency preparedness and response. Also on Tuesday, board member Tim Warner, who serves on the board's Public Safety Committee, listed several January statistics from a report that Sheriff Matt Smith provided for the committee. There were 2,665 total calls, 464 business checks, 50 motor vehicle accidents, 765 traffic stops, 88 jail bookings, and 36 prisoner transports last month, Warner said of the data relating to the Woodford County Sheriff's Office. By comparison, the Sheriff's Department responded to 2,054 calls in December and 2,468 calls in January 2024. The increases last month were 22.9% and 7.3%, respectively. Warner noted that the department used 5,761 gallons of gas in January, up 12.3% from the 5,052 gallons used in December. Smith said Wednesday that January was a typically busy month for his department. Some of the numbers Tim mentioned tend to fluctuate for various reasons, he said. For example, I know the 50 accidents seem like a lot for a month, but that could be weather-related. The Sheriff's Department also oversees the county's Animal Control Department. Smith's January report for Animal Control lists 13 running-at-large calls, 9 veterinary transports, 8 investigations, and 8 calls for lost or found pets. Washburn had the most animal control calls of any county community during January, with 8 calls. There were 10 dogs in the kennel at the end of the month. 4 animal adoptions were done in January. In other action Tuesday, the Woodford County Board approved the appointment of Christina Edinger to the Board of Health. She will serve the remainder of Bonnie Allen's 3-year term, which ends November 30th. Allen, a Germantown Hills resident, died September 7, 2024, at age 73. She had been a member of the Board of Health since 2013. Changing the board rules to allow the chairman to serve as an ex officio member of committees, with the ability to break a tie vote if needed. The board vice chairman will have the same responsibilities if the chairman cannot attend a committee meeting. Board Chairman Chuck Nagel said the change was made primarily to avoid canceling a committee meeting if there isn't a quorum. Hiring Herman and Associates of Peoria Heights for construction engineering services for a not-to-exceed amount of $67,070 for a resurfacing project on 4 miles of County Highway 25, Santa Fe Trail, from Lourdes Road to Douglas Street in Metamora. Federal funds received through a Tri-County Regional Planning Commission grant will pay for the project. Purchasing not more than 3,000 tons of road salt from the state's low bidder for use next winter. The cost of the salt will be known at a later date. Purchasing 12,000 gallons of spray patch oil from lone bidder Steffens 3D Construction of Toluca for $51,960. Motor fuel tax revenue will pay for the oil. Purchasing aggregate materials from low bidder Reeser Trucking of Secor for $63,575. Motor fuel tax revenue will pay for the materials. Purchasing pit materials from low bidders Galena Road Gravel, Valley Sand and Gravel of Washburn, Riverstone Group of Oglesby, and VCNA Prairie of Pontiac for a total of $324,150. Motor fuel tax revenue will pay for the materials. And allocating an additional $350,000 in motor fuel tax revenue for a County Highway 13 construction project. The low bid for the project was 8% above the estimated cost of $3.917 million. The low bid for another road project was under the estimate, so MFT revenue allocated for that project was transferred to the County Highway 13 project. The next story is entitled, YWCA to Host Wellness Weekend. New event to bring together art, music, healing at venues. By Brendan Dennison. Bloomington. YWCA McLean County is hosting its first Wellness Weekend, bundling art, music, and healing in activities held Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at several venues in the Twin Cities. YWCA McLean County, which is a hub of the statewide Envisioning Justice Project by Illinois Humanities, is taking the weekend to promote self-expression, self-care, and self-investment as avenues for justice and well-being, according to a statement from the organization. In an interview, Kara Powell, Director of Labyrinth Outreach Services at YWCA, said the weekend's program is a good way to bring the community together in healing through art creation. Wellness Weekend opens 6 to 8 p.m. Friday at the Creativity Center at 107 East Chestnut Street in Bloomington. Hosts for the opening event include BCAI Cultural Arts and Humanities, Creative Healing Art Therapy, and King Musa, a hip-hop artist, activist, and advocate for juvenile justice. At the opening event, there will be music and refreshments, mask making, and art education by King Musa, as well as t-shirt printing with silverback apparel. All masks be displayed during a Sunday concert at the Illinois Art Station. Additional mask-making sessions will be held 2 to 4 p.m. Saturday and from 10 a.m. to noon Sunday at the Creativity Center in Bloomington. Carly Johnson, certified art therapist and clinical supervisor for Creative Healing Art Therapy, said attendees are encouraged to bring a t-shirt for screen printing. The printers will print the event motto, "Healing is Crime Prevention." Johnson also said the creative process of art can be empowering, and attendees will be able to explore the materials and methods that work for them. Mask making is free, but participants must register in advance at tinyurl.com/YWCA maskmaking. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, Illinois Art Station will host Saturdays at the Station, a drop-in art-making event for young artists working on themes of justice and self-experience. No registration is required for this free event, located at 101 East Vernon Avenue in Normal. Illinois State University's Wan Suk Kim College of Fine Art is also pitching in on Wellness Weekend programming. The University Galleries at 11 Uptown Circle in Uptown Normal will hold a free art workshop 1 to 2:30 p.m. Saturday, inviting attendees to create tactile sculptures inspired by Andy Salter's work. Materials are provided, but registration is required at events.illinoisstate.edu. Undra Uphoff will teach a free expressive painting class 6 to 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Creativity Center. Event organizers described Uphoff as a trauma-informed art life coach who engages the whole body and brain with movement and the senses to empower expression. Aspiring yogis are invited to participate in two free yoga classes at the Creativity Center. The first, offered by Universe Yoga and Healing, is set for 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. Saturday. The second, led by Young Yogi, will be held 2 to 3 p.m. Sunday. No registration is required. Those yearning to express themselves musically are invited to join Harmonium Music Therapy 2 to 3 p.m. Sunday for a free Intro to Ukulele songwriting experience at the Creativity Center. No sign-up is necessary. The McLean County Museum of History will offer free admission Friday and Saturday with a temporary exhibit on display exploring the history of mass incarceration in McLean County and a ribbon decorating activity available Saturday. Wellness Weekend also includes two evenings of live music at the Illinois Art Station. Yay Big's Neuroplasticity Concert Series takes the stage at 7:30 p.m. Saturday with the following artists: Noise Music by Estrogen Molotov, Electronic Music by Creation Heap, and Electronic and Ambient Music by Swim Ignorant Fire. Modular synthesizer musician Matthew Riles and King Musa will perform starting 7:30 p.m. Sunday. Pre-sale tickets are priced at $20 for both concerts, or $15 at the door on Sunday. Pay What You Can tickets are available at illinoisartstation.org. And next we have a front page State of Illinois story headlined, Pritzker Unveils Budget Plan. Governor also slams Trump in policy speech. By Brendan Moore. Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker slammed President Donald Trump on Wednesday while laying out his $55.2 billion fiscal year 2026 state budget proposal, alluding to the rise of Nazi Germany in raising the alarm about the early actions of the second Trump administration. Pritzker, who is Jewish and helped build the Illinois Holocaust Museum and Education Center in Skokie, said that he doesn't invoke the specter of Nazis lightly, but said he had been watching with a foreboding dread what is happening in our country right now. If you think I'm overreacting and sounding the alarm too soon, consider this. It took the Nazis 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 days, 8 hours, and 40 minutes to dismantle a constitutional republic, Pritzker said towards the end of his 35-minute address in the Illinois House chamber of the state capitol. All I'm saying is when the five-alarm fire starts to burn, every good person better be ready to man a post with a bucket of water if you want to stop it from raging out of control, he said. Pritzker said he was not speaking up in service to my ambitions, but in deference to my obligations. The former, a reference to the governor's status as a potential candidate for president in 2028. It's the seventh combined State of the State and budget address in which Pritzker has outlined his fiscal and legislative priorities. It comes amid great uncertainty over the future of federal funding as the Trump administration and Republicans in power in Washington seek to enact steep cuts to programs like Medicaid and tie some funding to rolling back diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives and cooperation on a federal crackdown on illegal immigration. Pritzker also called for banning cell phones in the classroom and to make it easier for township governments to consolidate among a litany of policy proposals. The governor's spending plan includes additional funding for K-12 education and to pay down the state's massive pension obligations, but reins in spending in other areas as revenue growth slows down following years of windfalls from COVID-19 stimulus funds and post-pandemic economic activity. That means that programs that have experienced growth in past years may not be able to see that type of growth in this coming year, and some programs will look different because of the realities that we're facing, said a top administration official ahead of the governor's speech. A notable example of this is Pritzker's proposed elimination of the health benefits for immigrant adults, HBIA program, which provides health care to non-citizen adults between the ages of 42 to 64, regardless of immigration status, who are otherwise ineligible for Medicaid benefits. The first-of-its-kind program started during the COVID-19 pandemic as a way to ensure mostly undocumented non-citizens 65 and older. The age was later worked down to 42 during budget negotiations in 2020. The program became a flashpoint after costs ballooned far beyond what was initially allocated. Lawmakers in 2023 eventually allocated $550 million and implemented cost controls to prevent future growth of the program. Last year, about $629 million was earmarked for the program, which was projected to grow beyond $1.1 billion without cost control measures. The program for seniors will remain, according to administration officials, at a cost pegged at $132 million. The cost of maintaining the adult program would have been $420 million, officials said. A top administration official said ending the program for younger adults was a difficult decision, but reflects the reality of our fiscal situation that we have flagged now for several months. In November, a report published by Pritzker's budget office projected a $3.2 billion deficit for the fiscal year that begins July 1st. A few weeks later, Deputy Governor Andy Menar directed the state agency heads to search for cuts, anticipate less federal funding, and refrain from supporting legislation that would increase line items for the next budget year. On Wednesday, the governor's office offered revised estimates showing revenues of about $1.55 billion higher than projections from November. That, combined with limiting expected growth in spending, brings Pritzker's proposal into balance. Pritzker's budget includes $9.35 billion in state general funds for the Department of Health Care and Family Services, which administers the state's Medicaid program. Overall, the governor's budget includes $45.3 billion for the agency, the vast majority of which comes from the federal government. Despite recent signals of coming cuts and Trump's now halted federal grant freeze, the proposal does not reflect any potential estimate and change in Medicaid funding, an administration official said, adding that none of that has been enacted by Congress. Still, the administration officials said that the potential impact on revenue is a concern for us, along with economic uncertainty. As expected, Pritzker's budget proposal includes an additional $350 million in K-12 spending called for under the state's evidence-based funding formula law, which seeks to narrow the disparity in funding between low and high-income school districts. This would bring the state's total increase in EBF spending to more than $2.4 billion since its enactment in 2017. Funding for the operating budgets of the state's universities would increase by about $46 million. The state's community colleges would see a line item increase by about $9 million. As was the case last year, Pritzker called for increasing funding for the Monetary Assistance Program, MAP, a state-funded need-based grant awarded to Illinois college students, by $10 million. Overall education spending would increase about $312 million to $13.83 billion. And here's a local item entitled, District 87 Sets Office Changes. Bloomington. Bloomington Public School District 87 has announced three changes to administration at two schools for the next school year, pending Board of Education approval. In a Tuesday press release, the district announced Leslie Blockman will take over as principal at Oakland Elementary School and will be joined by Katie Thomas as assistant principal. Blockman, currently the district's coordinator of social emotional learning and engagement, will take over for David LaFrance, who has accepted a position in the Chicago area. Thomas will come to Oakland Elementary from her current role as instructional coach at the Regional Office of Education No. 17. Sheridan Elementary School is also welcoming a new assistant principal in Allie Armstrong, who is currently the school's social worker. The school board will vote on the appointments in March. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for February 20th. Please stay tuned.